Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is my Twitter friend, Jensen Karp, at Jensen Karp, K-A-R-P. Mr. Karp, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you?
We are longtime Twitter friends. I don't know if you're aware of that. I'm very aware. I had a dream about you one time, and I tweeted at you that I had a dream about you, which I thought was completely odd since we had never even met each other, and I wasn't even sure what you looked like.
No, I actually, I'll go on record saying this. I feel that you may have been one of the first people in basically like press in general to have tweeted out, you know, this guy's really funny. You should follow him. It was like a good 8 years ago or something.
Yeah, it was right when you were one of the first people that I followed on Twitter that I didn't know. I didn't know how it worked in the beginning. I used to think that you followed everybody who followed you. Then I had a bunch of our unfunny listeners tweeting things about me, what they ate for dinner. And I was like,
He said, follow this guy. He's really funny. And also, I think Obama's going to be great. It was 8 years ago.
So
he really was on top of them.
Now, but it's so funny because I felt like here I was. I felt like I had discovered someone. Right. But then it turned out you were kind of already famous as it was.
As a kid. Yeah. No, you deserve the praise for being early on my Twitter account. But yes, as a child, when I was 19 years old, I signed, even though I look like an accountant, I signed a $1 million record deal with Interscope Records as a rapper.
A million. See, it's so funny you said it because I keep saying, and I keep emphasizing this, I keep saying a small Jewish kid.
Right.
And people are like, ooh, yeah. We're being hard. But when you say rapper, you should know that we're not talking about the game here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's important to know that I look like if J.J. Abrams, for some reason, was like, I want to look more Jewish.
That's perfect.
I don't know why he'd do that.
So what was the thing that guy, what was it, Power 106? What did they have, some sort of contest?
Yeah, out here it was the sister station, so the Beat, the Baker Boys, who were kind of like a L.A. radio tradition. They had a show called The Roll Call. It was basically a contest where people would call in and battle against three or four other rappers every day. And it was just, you know, normal fare for your local radio, and they did it at Hot 97 also. And so I ended up going on the show kind of as a joke, just because I was on my way home from work and figured I could rap into my phone. I knew I was good at it. And the guy before me had 10 wins in a row. That was the sort of streak, the highest streak.
Right.
I won over 40. Yeah, I won over 40.
What were you doing at the time? What were you working that you were driving home from?
I was working on a really important film, actually. It was called Flintstones 2 Viva Rock Vegas.
Yes.
Is that the one that had English Fred?
It was the guy from Game of Thrones was Fred. Oh, I wish it was like John Goodman.
Yeah, no, it was English Fred, the guy with the accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and we had Stephen Baldwin as Barney Rubble, which was a genius casting. Yeah,
and so you go by and you do this thing, and you're freestyling, I would assume.
Yeah, mostly freestyling. A couple jokes here or there I'd be able to throw in that I knew were coming, and I was just destroying people every single day. I knew I was a good battler, and I was making good radio. I would you know, be able to talk afterwards as an interview instead of just sort of be like, yeah, yeah. and so I ended up destroying and you know, I ended up retiring on my own to go back to college, which I was doing at the same time too. And as I walked off, I got a bunch of record deal offers because there was no, you know, there was no iPads or iPods, or there was no Sirius radio. There was no, I mean, you had to listen to terrestrial radio, which is all we did in traffic here in LA. And
yeah.
I ended up sort of being able to be like an LA phenomenon.
And were you, what was your like musical taste? Were you into that ridiculous 90s rap that my wife loves, Wu-Tang and all that stuff?
Oh my God, yes, please. My wife and you would do, we would just sit around and listen to Wu-Tang all day if I could. That's pretty much my passion, yeah.
I drive in the car on the weekends with my two kids in the back seat, one in the car seat, and my wife in the passenger seat, and we'll flip through to Backspin or one of those, and if a Wu-Tang or Tribe Called Quest comes on, a woman comes out in my wife that I never knew existed before. Here she is with her master's degree in sociology or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden she's spitting game and dropping M-bombs. I'm like, who are you? But then I totally want to bang her.
These are my people.
Yeah. All right, so...
And yeah, so I, I, Yeah, no, I took that $1 million and I ended up recording with a lot of people your wife would think is very, are very cool. You know, I did an album with Redman and Fabulous and DJ Quick and Maya and DJ Clue. And I ended up doing a song with a very young producer who at the time had never really gotten a check from a major label ever, who was Kanye West.
Now, wait, let me ask you, what happens when Redman or Method Man or one of those men are in there and they're like, all right, wait till you meet our Jensen Karp, and you come rolling in, and they're like, come on, dog, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, Redman is my favorite story. Redman, I'm in the studio already, just me and him. He sits down, he listens to the song. We talk about the strategy as far as moving forward with it and what I, you know, what we think we should do and what he thinks he should do. And, you know, we get pretty intense about what the song's going to sound like and really throwing around a lot of ideas. And he goes, okay, cool, man. He's like, can you give me a soda? And he was like, can you give me a soda? And I was like, wait, what? And he was like, yeah, I mean, you're the studio runner. And I was like, no, dude, I'm the guy paying you $15,000 to be on this song. He just talks for an hour about this song. I'm more concerned about what kind of creative input you allow studio input. But yeah, so, I mean, people all the time would suspect the rapper was on his way, or, you know, even when I'm helping them, I think Fabulous is like, dude, I thought you were here to play bass on the song. Like, most people didn't expect it was going to be me.
What's it like to say the N-word in front of black people?
Oh, I luckily never did, sir.
Oh, come on. It's like a pass.
No, you don't understand. Being raised in hip-hop as a white guy, it is the absolute hit the emergency button, run away. You never, I mean, it's like you're as a smart hip-hop fan, you know your role, and I knew my role.
Oh, no way. When Linkin Park, I felt like they totally pushed out when they did that thing with Jay-Z and they didn't say, I mean, it's in the song. You're allowed, it's part of the lyrics. You're covering it.
I guess it would be. I'm good friends with those guys, but I guess it would be like reading, you know, like Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and just not say, just pretending those parts don't exist.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't change history there. This is Jensen Karp. His book is called Kanye West Owes Me $300. Now, I have heard those stories, like when Kanye had that one video with Stacey Dash. I don't know what it was because I never heard it, but I could always watch because it was always on the TV while we were doing mornings when MTV showed videos. I remember Simeon Rice, who used to play for the Buccaneers, was here, and he's from Chicago, and he's like, that's that cat that Damon Dash always tried to get me to invest in, and I never wanted to invest in any money, and then he blew up.
Yeah, yep. The book is called that. It's really just one story about Kanye. The rest are other stories that I encountered on my sort of fish out of water experience. But with Kanye, he was just an amazing. I was such an early stop for this very fast train, and no one believed in him. He would rap for people out of nowhere, sort of be like, yo, I want you to hear my new song. 15 people in the studio. He'd press play and then rap along with it. And then he'd be like, all right. And then he'd walk out and the whole room would laugh. You know, people would never pay attention while he was rapping. He's a real underdog story, and no one gave him that credit. Damon was early, but at the same time, I was there when literally no one was willing to hear him rap. It's been a kind of crazy thing to watch.
You still cool with him now, or does he ignore you?
Oh, no, we don't speak. We haven't spoken, and not for any reason. We didn't fall out or anything, but like when I started to do normal work and writing comedy, and then the other person can spend an hour on Ellen talking about like leather jogging shorts, you don't have much to talk about anymore. Yeah, there's not much in common.
How much of that $1 million from Interscope is left?
Oh, absolutely $0. absolutely zero. You get about $300,000 to $400,000 from that immediately. As an advance, the rest goes to production. And then at the same time, I signed a publishing deal that was $500,000. You get $250,000 of that up front, $250,000 when the album comes out. Spoiler alert, my album never comes out. And then all that money I no longer have. No. I've done well. I have a decent career in comedy writing, and I've done a lot of good things. So I'm not like a homeless living under the off ramp.
Who are you writing comedy for?
Right now, I'm on The Late Late Show with James Corden. I'm doing a special bit over there that we've been doing a couple times a week called Drop the Mic.
Well, it's a matter of time before he's getting Colbert's spot, buddy.
That's the rumor right here.
That anchor is sinking fast, and old the little fat English guy is making. I'm going to ride around in the car while famous people sing, and America will love me, and it worked.
He should. He's very lovable. And then also I'm writing the ESPYs right now with John Cena and I do a lot of award shows, a lot of different TV shows. So that's been my saving grace so that I'm not just like your typical Motown story where I'm like working at a car wash.
Can you fix something for me? I think John Cena is mad at me. Maybe while you guys are alone together, you can. I don't know. We live in the same county. It's a very small county in the area. And I call myself the second. Well, I got knocked down because the dreamy sheriff knocked me down another notch too. But I'm technically the second most famous person next to John Cena in my county. And he used to come on the show, and then I saw him at the gas station, and I said hi to him, and he looked me stone cold in the face, and he drove away. And I don't know why.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I expect you to fix that for me now.
I'll look into it. I'll explain to him. I said, you know, you can't be the first most famous person and not speak with the second. That's protocol.
Thank you. And he's more of a reason for me to kill him so that I could rise in power.
Yeah, well, please. You can't see him. You can't see him. That's the point.
This is Jensen Karp. The book is called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big. What do you own an art gallery now?
Yeah, I took the money. Basically, I got a money manager when I got all that dough at 19. And at a certain point when things fell apart for me in rap, he said, he goes, you can't just keep buying comic books and action figures. You gotta do something. So myself and a friend from college opened an art gallery called Gallery 1988 here in LA. And it was sort of something that was going to hold me over for a couple of years while I figured out what I could do professionally, since I couldn't rhyme words for money anymore.
Right.
And 13 years later, man, it's still happening. It's gallery1988.com. It's all like pop culture art. And if you like movies and TV, you'll love what we're doing there too. But it's something cool. I'm definitely the only rapper to take his rap money and create an art gallery.
My old girlfriend before I got married was an art history major, went to move from Miami to New York. She worked at all these new art galleries and had to get the piss Christ guy was there, and it was all this crazy press and all that. And I hated all of it. But then I, one day I read a flyer that said that there was a place down the block in Soho that had a small gallery. You can call it that. It was really like an attic. And it was floor plans from famous houses from TV. So like the Brady Bunch house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, and I was like, now this is up my alley. So I'm dying to see your stuff.
Yeah, that is exactly what we do. Literally exactly what we do.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, finally, I was ahead of the game in the art world.
Right.
Yeah.
And on me on Twitter. You're really on top of things.
Well, listen, I say this a lot to like comedians that come in the studio and stuff, but I have to come to LA in August. I'd love to hook up with you and go grab dinner or something, because I am a fan. I think you're very funny. I've been carrying this book around with me, I'm literally walking around with it in my hand trying to find 5 minutes of my life to read it. But the book is called Kanye West Owes Me $300, Other True Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big by Jensen Karp. You could follow him on Twitter at Jensen Karp, K-A-R-P. It's a pleasure to finally hook up with you. I look forward to you to kind of be like the middleman between me and John Cena and get that all settled, and then we'll have dinner in L.A.
I know. My next book is definitely going to be called John Cena Owes Me a Hello.
How I bridge the gap between first and second place.
That's right, dude. Thank you. Really, for real, though, thank you for all the support. And I really was always sort of like, this Mike guy's really great, and I appreciate everything you've done.
You were right. Hey, seriously, very funny guy to follow on Twitter. Pleasure to have you on the show. Good luck with the book, buddy.
Take care.
So long. That's my friend Jensen Karp.